Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribal Wisdom Radio, your marriage support network. Tune in for all things love, marriage, and family. We are devoted to love. Here we go.
Good evening. Today is January 14th, 2015, and this is Tribal Wisdom Radio. My name is Makaysha Dorsey, and I'm sitting in for Cynthia tonight. And I guess I'll say it again, Happy New Year. This is the second show of the year, and we have a really great show lined up for you tonight. Our first guest is Pache Spates. She's a writer. Actually, she's one of my writing partners, a writer in crime. We all depend on each other in the writing industry. And she is the creative mind behind TheEnduringMind.com, The Enduring Optimist. And another writer that I had an opportunity to meet through a publishing opportunity is Shelby Alexander Griggs. She'll be joining us later on in the show. What we're talking about tonight is journaling, something Pache is very passionate about, something that she's really gone the extra mile in teaching others how to journal and how to use journaling as a means to control creativity or to manage creativity, because if you're a creative person, you can kind of get all over the place. But she's taken journaling to another level for creative people and for anyone who wants to get into journaling. And then with Shelby, later tonight, we'll be discussing moving forward with your business despite the curveballs. And let me tell you, Shelby is one of the most inspirational women that I have had the pleasure of working with. Shelby is a very hard worker. She has been an amazing writer, an amazing coach. She's been featured in USA Today Online, on the Oprah Winfrey Network, Oprah.com, just a myriad of places. And you'll get a chance to learn a little bit more about her when she comes on tonight. In a little while, Pache should be dialing in a few minutes. And before they come on, why don't you take some time and you think about some of the things that you want to get accomplished over the new year. If you have any questions, you can always call in on our guest call-in line at 347-996-3160. You can take some time, jot down some questions, whether it's about journaling. I know for me, I just recently started back using a prayer journal, and I also use a work and business journal. My work journal actually helps me get through my day at work, helps me to keep to document what I have going on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, but it also helps me to get an eye on my baseline of goals. And we also have the personal journal where I'm doing my prayer journal. It's a place where I actually can sit down, write down my prayers, my thoughts, what inspires me on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. And I think right now we have been having some technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio tonight, and I'm going to give it a few more minutes to see if we can get Pache on the line. And in the meantime, I want to give you her website. Just in case you're near a computer, you can go to TheEnduringMind.com. And she discusses the enduring life, enduring musings, enduring finds. And her tagline is creating, inspiring, and motivating one positive post at a time. And on Pache's website, there are so many interesting blog posts to choose from. They're all very inspirational, and they're encouraging. And sometimes we can be inspired, but not necessarily encouraged. But a lot with Pache's blog post, we have her inspiring you, but also giving you an opportunity to take the time and be proactive and be encouraged to act. And it looks like we have Pache on the line right now. Hello, writer friend.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm real good. It feels good to be back on here.
Good, good, good. Well, I tried to do a little bit of giving an intro for you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, my gosh. Well, my name is Tashae Spade. I am a blogger, author, and mom and a wife. My blog is called it's under the enduringmind.com, but I also go by the Enduring Optimist. It's a blog that is dedicated to all things creative, inspiring, and motivating, heavily in the field of journaling and creative productivity. I published my first book, The Optimist Guide to Journaling, in November, and it was really a labor of love, honestly, because I had actually started thinking about it about 6 months before actually physically writing it. The book itself, it's a real quick read, and that's what I love about it. It really does serve as a guide for the reader. It includes the benefits of journaling, and it discusses the various types of journaling. And I wanted to do something different with the book, where I also include a quick little quiz. You can kind of find out what kind of journaling style you can actually choose from. So there's about 7 different types of journaling styles that are available. And I wanted the quiz to kind of help people kind of pinpoint, because I think some people get kind of caught up in the aspect of, okay, I have to journal for how long, or I got to fill all these pages, and that's not necessarily true. So I wanted the book to kind of be a big breath of fresh air for those that are new to journaling, and even those that have been journaling for years. I've been journaling since I was 6 years old, so to discover the various different types of journaling, it has been such an amazing opportunity, and then to be able to share it with people, and it's been awesome. So that ties in with my blog, and my blog I talk a lot about journaling. I also talk about being passionate and following your dreams, because here I am at the age of 30, raising kids, being married, and I'm actually finally taking these leaps of faith myself. So everything that I post, it's personal. It's not just I'm sharing these quips that I find on the internet. These are actually my own thoughts and how I feel, and it's like when I'm posting these things, I'm not just motivating my followers, I'm also motivating myself. So that, I think, kind of separates me a little bit differently from other bloggers out there, because I'm not just posting this stuff, I'm living it at the same time.
and let's talk about living it. You are a creative person. I met you during one of my creative processes. We've worked together on 79-word stories. We've worked together over at snaps.com. We've worked together and encouraged each other during NaNoWrite Month. Let's talk about your creative process. You mentioned that you started writing when you were 6 years old, journaling when you were 6 years old.
Yeah.
When you started journaling, did you see it as a means to escape, to get your story down, or did you just see it as a way to be creative? Like, what motivated you to start journaling?
What motivated me was I was actually, what they call a latchkey kid. So I was pretty much home from the age of 6, by myself, and my mom went to work. And journaling became this outlet for me. And I would write stories. I would write about my frustrations, being not able to go and spend time with my friends or not having a connection with my father. I wrote a lot about that. And then as the older I got, I started adding different elements. I started adding drawings, and I started adding magazine clippings, and the next thing you know, there's all these different pages that reflect my personality, and they reflect my thought process, and sometimes it reflects the different characters that I wanted to create for stories. So it was honestly a combination of both. It started off as an escape, and now it's become this outlet for me, where I can daydream on paper, and I can craft different realms for characters and different projects and opportunities for the blog and you plan all these different meetups and projects. So it is a combination of both as I've gotten older.
Okay. And because you're a creative person, I have several pieces of jewelry that you made. I've seen on your blog recently where you discussed where you've been looking at ways to manage your own personal creativity, because as a creative person, I know that sometimes the ideas come and you don't always know how, when, where, or why these ideas are here, but you have to find some kind of way to have an outlet. You know, if it's jewelry making, I've done that. You've done that. We have friends who've done that. So can you tell us about the process that you're going through right now? I think I saw something that you're reading called The Creative Person's Guide to Time Management.
Yeah. As a creative person, it's rough to kind of wrangle everything in. And I've dabbled in almost everything. That, you know, like you said, I've done jewelry. I write fiction, but I ended up, my first book ended up being nonfiction, go figure. And I love taking pictures. I love painting. You know, there's all these different things that I love to do. And it kind of came to this head just a couple weeks back, and I told myself, I've got to wrangle this all in. There has to be a way to wrangle this in without starving myself, without starving my creativity, without starving my creative process. And I knew one big thing was time management. Right now, I'm working on my second book, and then I'm actually working on creating my own planner. And then on top of that, I'm also working on a business plan for a storefront. So all of a sudden, I had these three big projects, and I kept saying, well, I can get it done, but I just didn't know how. So I actually found this book at Half Price Books because I knew, like, time management is as a creative person, it can be a gift and a curse. If you have time management down as a creative person, you're awesome. You don't even need to listen to anything else I have to say. But if you have a hard time with time management and you're a creative person, you actually have to prioritize your creativity. So you really have to think about, what do I need to get done right now? What can be put off till tomorrow? And what can be put off till the end of the month or maybe the next month? So one thing that has honestly helped me with this process, and in this book it talks about as well, is mind mapping. I never understood the concept completely. I just thought, like, you just make these squares and you make these spider legs and then eventually it all's supposed to make sense. But when I sat down and actually practiced it, and I mean like five or six times for about five or six mm-hmm. different projects, it mm-hmm. clicked and I finally understood what it is. So that's kind of my obsession right now is mind mapping. So with the concept of mind mapping, you take an idea or you take a project that you want to work on, and that is your center focus. And from mm-hmm. there, you actually create your spider legs, I guess you could say, and it highlights the elements of that idea or that project that you want to create based on that project. And from those subplots, then you create more. If you any additional ideas that sprout from there, so eventually you have this huge web of based on one concept. And from there, what I've actually been able to do is prioritize it and say, okay, well, this is what I'm going to work on from this time to this time. And then from there, and once I'm done with that, then the next step is, so you can actually break down your mind map into phases. Now that you see the entire picture of what you want to achieve, now you have that ability to break it down in a way that's going to work for you. So mm-hmm. doing it has allowed me to prioritize every element, from working on my business plan to working on this planner to work to writing the second book. And now I can say, okay, the book is due in March, my business plan is due in July, and this planner, it is going to take me a little bit longer because I want to make sure that I have every element that I want to include in it. So this one, I don't see it being ahead of both projects. So I can kind of take this one little by little. So as creatives, we definitely have to prioritize. And it might make us grit our teeth, it might make us roll our eyes, but we have to prioritize our creativity, and we have to sort out what is most important to us right now, what can be held off till tomorrow, what can be pushed further out.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about prioritizing, I know for me, writing is very important. I've kept the journal since I could write. Actually, my mom always jokes about me. Before I could write, I would actually draw pictures about my day every day. So for the person who's really, you've taken your passions and you've turned them into businesses. You're like a serial entrepreneur. That's a great thing. That's a great thing.
I'm getting better.
That's a great thing. You've taken your love of writing and your love of journaling, and you've turned it into a business. What prompted you to look at journaling and go, you know what? Maybe I should look at this as a means of creating an income while I'm doing something that I love.
It came from, honestly, I've always journaled, and mm-hmm. I never looked at it that way. And one mm-hmm. day I found some old journal entries, and I was just thinking to myself, you know what, I don't know how big it is, but I feel like there's something different about journaling. I feel like almost with technology, we've kind of lost that connection with ourselves. We mm-hmm. will tweet our feelings or we'll post our feelings on Facebook, and not everybody's going to interpret what we feel the same way. So I started thinking about it, and it came, and in the process of that, there came the name change. I went from The Life and Times of the Enduring Mind, that's what my blog was called originally, to The Enduring Optimist. And then from there, I really started thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do with this? And as soon as I developed the name, that's when it clicked, like, this is your brand. This is your business. And from there, I was like, well, okay, well, what am I going to sell? You know, what am I offering to people that will, you know, what can I do? And my journals were all splashed out in front of me, and it was right there in front of me, being able to offer them an outlet and sharing my experiences in life and helping people understand that journaling, it is alive and well. And you'd be amazed at how many people out there still journal like old-fashioned way, not, you know, the keyboard and the computer. They buzz out the pen and the paper, and they're obsessed with stationery, and they're obsessed with notebooks, and they look for sales at Staples. And that's when it really all started to come together, and I got excited about it because I love that there's still a community out there that I could speak to. And honestly, when it came to writing the book, I said, well, you know, I really want to write this book. And when it came down to the pricing, I was like, I don't know what to do. And that's one thing that I have had to learn is that when you are passionate about it, sometimes you are willing to give it away for free. You know, majority of the time you're willing to give it away for free. And that's one of the things that I've learned from so many mentors is, you know, they always ask, what would you do, you know, whatever you can do for free, you know, what would you do? What is it? What are you that passionate about that you would do it for free? And I was like, well, I would write in my journal, and I would tell people about journaling, and that's when it all started to lay itself out. And I started thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do with this? How's it going to go? What am I going to offer? What am I going to offer to my readers and to my followers that's going to be different from everything else that's out there? And right. I feel what they're also getting is they're not just getting products, but they're also getting a little element of myself. Even on my blog, on my Instagram, on my Facebook pages, even sometimes on my Twitter when I feel like going on it, people still get they still get a transparency with me. So I'm not just posting journal prompts and saying, okay, you guys write about them. I'm also sharing my insight as well based on them. So what you're purchasing, you are also purchasing an element of me too.
I mean, the book, because I guess because I know your personality, I read almost everything you write. We work together over at Snaps. When I saw the cover of your book, I'm like, this is so her. This is so indicative of the brand that you as a brand that's grown over the past few years of me even getting a chance to know you. And since we don't have a whole lot of time left, one of the things that I really want to ask you is because I've run into people who've seen me when I've been sitting out on a park bench or at a local restaurant with my journals, because I have a couple of different journals that I write in for different things. And they go, we're bag ladies with all of our journals and books and planners.
Yep.
I had to start carrying a Buddha bag because I had so much stuff to carry around. But people always ask me, and I'm kind of dumbfounded because I've been journaling so long until it's second nature. In addition to the Optimist Guide to Journaling, what else would you recommend a person who's just getting started out in journaling? What should they get? What do you think a person needs if they're just starting out and this is something that they really want to do?
Oh, wow. I get asked that a lot. I get asked that a lot. I get emails about it. I get, private messages about it. And I always recommend you start simple. I know that there are a lot of Instagram pages and there are a lot of Facebook groups where you see these people with all these markers and pens and tape. And, you know, if you really want to get to the essence of journaling, I just recommend you get one of your favorite pens and you go to, I recommend going to TJ Maxx or Marshall's or even Target. They have some of the best notebook collections I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Maxx and Marshalls, they have the best journals with quality paper, and they have, the cutest, phrases and inspirational words on it. It makes you want to write in them. So I always mm-hmm. say that when you're picking out a journal, it should be like picking out a pair of shoes. It has to be comfortable. You have to want to carry that thing with you at all times. And
mm-hmm.
the same thing goes for your pen. I am obsessed with the InkJoy pens. I love the way that they write.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Uniball pens. They have one called a Jetstreamer. I accidentally stole one from work, and I fell in love with it. So it's definitely a pen that I recommend. And I went out and I found some, and I was so excited about it. But honestly, just start with the basics. You start with your journal, and you start with a basic pen. If you are looking to just write, go ahead and just free write. Free writing is a great way to get stuff off your chest or do what I call a brain dump. You just write down everything that's in your head, every thought, every mm-hmm. question, every idea, every concept. You just write it all down. There's no time limit to it. Don't worry about time. And if you're looking for prompts, I have a newsletter that you can sign up for on my blog. It's on the, what side is that? It's on the right-hand side. You can sign up for it. You get weekly inspiration. You get a weekly affirmation. You get 5 prompts from me based on the week's focus. You can also, there's awesome pages on Instagram. Even if you just look up hashtag journal prompts, you'll get a bunch of different prompts. Or you'll get people responding to different prompts. I post the prompts myself on my Instagram page too. So that's how you start. You know, you don't need anything flashy. If you want to start, adding, inputting images and die cut images and things like that, you can go ahead and do that. But if you're looking for the essence of journaling, all you need is a good journal and a great pen. Because when they both are together, I'm telling you, it's like a really good cheeseburger. You just don't want to give it up.
Yes. I journal with a Sharpie. Those sharp new Sharpie pens. That is my thing.
Yes.
I have no pens. And I do believe that picking out a journal is. Mine has to be a certain weight. I like my journals
mm-hmm.
to be a certain size. All of those things, and it really makes me want to write. Well, thank you so much for coming on tonight. And please, before you go, website address, Twitter, I know you're never on it, but you kill it on Instagram. So give us your main social media information and the name of your book again so that our listeners can pick up a copy.
Absolutely. So anybody can find me at www.theenduringmind.com. My Twitter game is nowhere. It's bad, but I do try to get on here. So you can actually follow me on Twitter at EndureOptimist. And I'm on Instagram, of course. I'm always on Instagram. And I'm at the_EnduringOptimist on Instagram. And my Facebook page is just The Enduring Optimist. You can actually search The Enduring Optimist, and I'm pretty sure I'm the only face that you'll see. But trust me, you can't miss me. You'll see glasses. You'll see glasses and bold lips, and then I tell you, yep, that's her. You got it. And my book is called The Optimist Guide to Journaling, and in March of this year, I will have The Optimist Guide to Affirmations, and it will be a 30-day DIY affirmation journal.
Oh, wow. I can't wait. Thank you so much, Pache. And I really appreciate it, and I'll keep a lookout. And I've been going through some of your prompts, too. So thank you so much for coming on.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good night.
Good night.
Now we have Shelby coming on. Pache, make sure you get a chance to go look at her website. And now we have Miss Shelby Alexander Griggs on. And I'm so excited about her being on the show tonight because she is one of those women that I absolutely look up to. I follow her on Facebook. She has the most inspiring posts throughout the day. You find some really good nuggets online and you share with everyone. So before we get started, Shelby, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
You hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Well, thank you for having me on your show tonight. I'm so excited.
I'm excited, too.
Well, and I love what you're doing, and thank you so much for the kind words that you had to say about what I do. And that's really my focus. I am a motivational speaker. Motivational speaker, yep. Author, and a business coach. And I inspire women to find their passion, to go to their soul, their gut, and the things that are keeping them up at night and they haven't acted upon. How do they jumpstart? How do they get there? So a lot of my clients say I center their thoughts and get them to a place where they are in touch with their purpose. And so that is my calling and the work that I do.
Wow, that's amazing. One of the things that, of course, my first real introduction to you was through the Motherhood Diaries, where we all had a chance to share our stories of motherhood. And you're one of those moms who have an older child and a younger child. So you can actually really speak to women about the things that we think about, you know, with parenting, with motherhood, and even some of the things we're afraid of. I mean, I would be afraid of having another baby when my baby is 16 or 17. So I would be petrified right now.
Yeah.
My baby is seven, and it would be hard.
Well, I tell you what, I am compelled to tell the story because people, when they see I have, they say, oh, you have a 20-year-old. Well, he's 20 now. At the time when I got pregnant, and he was 15, and going on 16, and he was about to graduate, you know, on his way out to college. And I always just say, you know, I had a plan, but God had a bigger plan. I mean, and this was one of those moments where, you know, I was not prepared for that. I pretty much was ready to do my girls' night outs and, and, you know, do the weekend getaways. And now I have to, you know, find a babysitter. So all my friends, their kids are in college. Some of them are grandmothers. And I'm like, okay, I could go out with you, but let me find a sitter first. And they're like, what? But it's funny, but it's challenging. And I know with the Motherhood Diaries, my contribution was the diary of a mature mom. So I really kind of talked about the funny stories, the things that happen, and basically the differences in raising my son and how I was as a mother with my son versus my daughter. And it's mm-hmm. quite funny because they're both, they have different personalities. So I've actually had to use a lot of my motivational advice to parents. So, but it works out. We love her. She's a gem. She's our miracle baby. We are grateful for her, and she has brought so much joy in our life. But she keeps me hopping for sure.
Well, of course they do, and she's a doll based on the things that I've even read about her. Now, you talk to women and your clients about finding and walking in their purpose. You even have a book about opening the door to your true purpose, and I think a lot of the times as women, we get caught up in our roles and not necessarily our purpose. So can you talk to us about how, first of all, women get the roles confused with purpose, and then talk to us about how life coaches and purpose coaches can help people really walk through that door to their true purpose?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, yeah, and here's the thing about women in particular. This is this club that we're in. We are doers. We are emotional by nature. We are sacrificers. You know, we're the ones that put everybody and everything before us. And when we have kids, we certainly, you know, do that as well. And what happens is that we become, you know, what our lives are at that moment in time. You know, I think about my own journey. You know, my first book called Opening the Door to Your True Purpose is really a memoir of me really discovering my own path, because I started out in my early 20s wanting to pursue corporate America, and I thought that was my destiny because I was a born leader. It was natural for me. I was always in leadership roles, even when I started in retail during college, and I thought that that was my destiny. And so I pursued that, and pursuing corporate America was my reality, and I was very successful, and I did very well at it. But then I think when I got to a certain age, I had, you know, had the marriage, and I got married in my late 20s, and I got, you know, I had a baby in my late 20s around that time, and then I hit my 30s, and then I was successful, so I had the husband, I had the baby, I had the dog, you know, all that, the house. And a great career, but then I was feeling like there was something missing. And I know there's somebody out there that says that, you know, I'm doing really well, but then there's something that's calling me, and I don't know what it is, but I know I wake up every day thinking about it. And that was really kind of the beginning of me really searching and really trying to ascertain where I was supposed to be and what I was supposed to be doing, and I started to pay attention to the things around me. So, you know, when you talk about purpose, it's such a, you know, a buzzword now. You know, everybody's talking about following your purpose and discovering your divine purpose, and really what that is just finding the thing that you were created to be, and it's not necessarily the life that you have. And as women and mothers, we get off track with that. And we get, just because of the fact that we put our families before us. And, you know, and I think about my job was really great. My parents are old school, and they were like, you know, you've got a great job. I remember when I was talking about writing my book and starting my own business, it was like, why would you do that? You know, this is a good job you have, good benefits, very, you know, stable. And so I had a lot of influences in my life, and I'm not going to say I regret making the decisions that I made, Because all of those decisions that I did make and the path that I did take prepared me for this day. So, you know, I think that, you know, to your question about how women can get away from the purpose and confuse the purpose versus, you know, what they're doing in the moment, I always say just reduce to the moment that every day you are thinking about whatever it is. If it's, you know, starting a business, a bakery business, or being a music teacher, whatever that is to you, there's some nuggets in that. There's some lessons in that and messages in what it is that you were called to do when it's effortless. You know, when we were talking about relationships and how it pertains to not only your purpose, but then really say you figured it out and you're about to start your business. You know, that first decision is the easy part, and people think that that's the hard part. That's the easy part. The hard part is staying true to that and maintaining a level of commitment to following that, because it's not easy. You know, and as a life coach, when I started back in 98, yeah, I've been doing this thing for a while, you know, and I always tell people, you know, there's no certificate that you can get or, you know, co-sign from a great person to pair you for this kind of role, because it's an important one, and because you're taking people's intimate, you know, thoughts and feelings and emotions and putting that into a purpose bow, if you will. So I think that when we, you know, again, when you're talking about hiring a purpose coach, or what I call myself, a purpose coach or a life coach, you want someone that's not only going to support you, but that's going to pull some things out of you. A lot of times it's a fine line, and I found in doing this work that it's a fine line between, you know, therapy, because sometimes it's therapy. Sometimes I have to go there about the way you were raised and the limiting beliefs that you have in it before we could even get to the purpose part. So, you know, and that's you have to be fully committed. When you're saying, I'm ready, I want to know what my purpose is, I'm ready to do it, you're going to have to be fully committed to just to go there. And it's going to be an emotional ride, but it's worth it, because in the end, you are doing something that you have called to do, and you'll see that it's effortless.
Well, okay, you talk about being, you just mentioned being fully committed. And as a business owner, myself, I know that when you're fully committed, it seems like all hell breaks loose. It seems as soon as you've made a decision to start your business or grow your business or to add another service, something that happens, you know, life is really stranger right. than fiction, you know, something outlandish happens and you're like, okay, but, you know, God, I know that I'm praying. I know that I'm going to the right place. I know that this is what's burning me on the inside. And as soon as I get ready to do it, the car breaks down. I'm getting a divorce. My kids are acting crazy. My mama made me mad. What is it about being fully committed that makes the universe go crazy?
And it happens. It's a test. You know, it really is a test. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of the things I want to share with you and your listeners, is that when you make the decision that you want to step out and fulfill your purpose in life and make money doing it, because you can, you hear the phrase cash in your calling, and on your calling, that it really is a major step. And the first thing that you have to do is you have to change your mindset, because when you see whatever it is that you're doing as a hobby, or, you know, you want to give it away, you know, these are the things that can create anxiety and frustration in starting your business. So you have to think like a CEO. You have to think like a business owner, and understand that it's going to take you thinking differently, and it'll take a minute because even with me, I mean, I worked a corporate job for over 20 years, so that shift was a little, you know, adjustment for me. Mm-hmm. But that's the first thing you have to do, because things are going to happen. But here's the thing, you know, you have to understand that, you know, every step, every, you know, pathway that you're on to really build your business, to follow your dream, you're going to have adversity. You're going to have hiccups or interruptions, as I call them, in life. And it's really about how you respond to them. Those things can take you in the darkest place, in the darkest place, if you don't have the right mindset. So, you know, I get this because I remember earlier on, I had a lot of people in my ear about, you know, I knew for sure what it was that I wanted to do. I knew what my platform was going to be. And then I got in the wrong circle. And when I got in the wrong circle, I got misinformation. And it wasn't their fault because they gave me the vanilla response, as opposed to looking at who I was and what I was really, you know, focused on doing. And so I listened to a lot of people, and I changed my platform in my business because they were like, oh, my God, you this. Oh, you should do this, too, and you should do this. And I got away from it. And, you know, and when I did that, things went crazy. And it did, and everything seemed hard and difficult and, you know, stressful. And I realized that I had gotten away from my core purpose and my core of what I was supposed to do. So, you know, I would say first, remember that you have to change your mindset when you're starting your new business. And then the most important thing, and you'll hear this, Jim Rohn says it all the time. I mean, well, says all the time, God rest his soul. But it's the quote that people share all the time, that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And so you have to decide who is it that you want to associate yourself with. Because when you have those moments, you need to be able to people to feed into your soul. I call them faith partners. When you start losing faith in the things that you're doing at that moment, you want people around you that believe in you and believe in your business at that very moment more than you, to just hold you up, you know, to say, you know what, you got this. Let's talk about what you know, what's happening. How can we address this? You know, how can we help you? The other thing is finding a mentor. And, you know, I will tell you that this was a really important thing for me, too, is finding someone that's doing whatever you're doing better than you. Because when you're the best thing going in your group, I mean, you know this, you know, when you're the best thing going, you got a problem. You don't want, you know, I like to sit amongst the people that, you know, I want to be the million-dollar girl, and I want to sit amongst the million-dollar people. Quick story I share with you. I was at a Tony Robbins event last year, and I had never experienced Tony Robbins. I've heard about him. I heard about his Unleash the Power Within seminars and his books, and I got him, several of his books. And actually, I'm dating myself. I got a cassette tape. But I had never experienced him live. And I'm going to tell you, it was life changing for me. And but what was even more of a light bulb moment in time was that there was a young girl sitting next to me. She said she was, I don't know, we just start chatting it up, and she said she was 28, or I think she said she was 28, 26 or 28. And then she said, you know, oh, I'm just so frustrated. You know, I didn't make like $50,000 was my business. And I thought, well, $50,000 is, you know, it's not bad. It's a good start. She's like, I said, you mean, you know, a quarter or whatever? She's like, no, in a month. And I was thinking, really? What am I doing? So, you know, so I thought to myself, okay, yeah, this, this is another one of those reminders of how you need to be careful about the people that you hang around, because when those life interruptions happen, those hiccups in your life occur, you don't want, you certainly don't want the I call it the haters, you know, over there going, mm-hmm. yeah, knew it wouldn't work, knew if she did. You want people in your corner that are going to support you and help you through the hard times, because there are going to mm-hmm. be some hard times. But you've got to just see yourself on the other side. I just told somebody this earlier today, is that you have to continue to speak success in your business, success in your relationships, success in your health, everything, speak success. And even if you're in a valley, you need to see yourself on the other side of it. You know, when I did the Tony Robbins thing, I also did the fire walk. I was petrified. I did not want to do it. I was like, I ain't going to do it. I've never walked
on gold. You did the fire walk?
I did the fire walk, sister. What? Let me tell you, we're talking 1,500 degrees, I think it was. I was so girl. I thought, I was like, I can't do that. And I didn't have anybody. So I went to Tony Robbins alone. So I didn't have my, you know, girl going, you know, cheer me on. I was like, Shelby, you're either going to do this, you're not going to do this. And I, all day, all I could think about was that fire walk. It's like, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I don't know if I could do it. And then something hit me. And I said, because I'm so that afraid, I've got to do it. This is what I'm telling my clients. This is what, you know, courage means being afraid, but doing it anyway. I have to do it. And let me tell you, I got up there. I focused. I saw a building. It was an office building in front of us, and I don't know what floor it was. It was one office light on, and I focused on that office light. And I said, okay, that's that office light. I see it. I saw the coals. I said, I'm going to get to the other side. All I thought about was getting to the other side. And let me tell you, I walked those coals. I got to the other side and didn't even know I was done. I was like, I'm done? I didn't even feel the heat of the coals. Is that crazy?
That is crazy. Okay. You're brave. You are now going on my real wall of heroes. You are already there, but now you get the plaque on the wall that is, you know, that I had. Girl, you good.
I couldn't believe it. I was on the other side, and I thought, I'm done? And they were like, oh, and they were cheering, and Tony Robbins over there jumping up and down. And I was like, oh, my God, I did it. And I walked back when it was all said and done. I had no blisters. I'm telling you, I felt no heat. Now, some people complain they have blisters, but I didn't have them. But I knew what I did that they didn't do. Is I saw myself on the other side of this pain.
Wow.
I said, okay. I said, this is going to probably hurt because it's going to be a little hot, but it's going to be over. I just got to get to the other side. And that was my lesson. That was my takeaway from that. And I was in that conference 4 days for 12 hours every day. I'm telling you, you've got to eat your Wheaties to go to a Tony Robbins event. And that was my takeaway. I said, I knew two things. Number one, when I'm really afraid, teeth chattering, knees knocking, stomach, you know, my husband, I mean, I know this sounds gross, but I'm going to say it anyway because this is what my husband says. He gets the bubble guts when he's nervous. When you have all of that, when you have all that going on, that means you are like a millicentimeter away from your breakthrough. You're a millicentimeter away from what is so magnificent and perfect for just you. Because in that whole experience, I was so afraid to do it, and then I did it, and then I got to the other side. And everybody kept going, how did you do that? Why didn't you burn? Why didn't you feel it? And at first I was like, I don't know why I didn't feel it. I don't understand it. But I had to come down off my high and the endorphins. I had to come down before I realized that was a word from the Lord to me. Is that no matter what it is that's happening in your life, You have always got to, number one, believe you can get through it and see yourself on the other side of your adversity. That's what you do. Whether it's your business, it's your friendship or your relationship with your husband. I mean, you have to see yourself on the other side of your adversity. And that kind of really is the million-dollar answer I have for when things happen, life happens, what do? Is that you say, okay, it's just kind of like when I had my son naturally. Okay, I know I'm crazy, but I gave birth naturally. Okay.
Sounds like you like pain.
No, ma'am. I had gone into labor, preterm labor, and I've been on drugs, so I did not want to, have him on drugs too, because I was taking drugs. And so I said, I want to have him naturally. Well, and then, of course, Michaela came. I was 42 years old. I'm like, I'm smarter than that. Give me some drugs. But what happened with Michaela is that because of the fact that I knew this was going to hurt, I knew how to breathe through it. I knew that if I ever resisted the pain, it would hurt worse. So I just went with it. I accepted it. I just went with it. And I was 8 centimeters before she said, shouldn't we give you your epidural now? Don't you want it? I was like, oh, yeah, go ahead. Oh, how many centimeters? She's like, you're 8. I was like, oh, my God. Because see, back in the day, they wouldn't give it to you after 6. But she gave it to me. And so here's why am I telling this story? It's because I knew that it was going to be painful. I learned to accept the pain and breathe through it, to just go with it. When you go against it and going against it, when you just kind of taking away the childbirth scenario and just talking about your business and life happening and you can't get your business on track and your relationship sucks and all this stuff happening, what happens is when you don't go with what's happening, you resist it, and then you turn it inward. Then you make it about you. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not that. And what you do is you sabotage. You self-sabotage your whole dream because you've talked yourself out of it. So when I have adversity, God knows I have it. I mean, even the most motivational, some days I love it when people go, oh, Lord, Shelby, I needed that. And I said, me too. You'll see that. I know you see that on my post sometimes. I'm like, sometimes I'll just post this for me to encourage myself. Because when things happen, you have to say, what is the lesson in this? I know Oprah said this before. I've been saying this since 98. What is this here to teach me? Because when I realize that what's happening is not about me, then I can handle it. You know, when I don't make it about me, I can handle it. When my girlfriend, you know, doesn't invite me to her wedding, real story, that's not about me. You know what I mean? So I know we're going to have to wrap up our time because I'm watching the clock too for you. But I am
loving this.
I'm like taking up. You know, I told you. I was like, you need to tell me how much time I got because you know I'll go. But I want your listeners to know. You know, and I know we talked. Your the show and the network is the platform of relationships, and just I want them to remember that, you know, this is your dream. Don't let a friend, a family member, a husband, a spouse talk you out of what you know God has already put in you. Don't put that burden on them to want it more than you because it's not theirs. I don't know. I'm saying this because somebody needs to hear this. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I'm going to tell you that's something I had to say. Don't put the burden on a friend or a family member or a spouse or a loved one to want your dream more than you because it's not them. It's not for them. It's not theirs. I'll just leave it at that.
Wow. I have been sitting here. I have all kinds of notes. Actually, in one of my journals that I just put in pocket to pay sales out.
I love it.
Yeah, I've
got my journal.
I have all, I love journals. And I like being able to go back and look and really know where what I'm learning. Thank you so much for coming on. And I'm still I'm sitting here with my mouth open like, okay, believe you can get through it. See yourself on the other side. It's just so much there, and thank you so much. We have to make sure that everyone knows how to get in touch with you, so give us your website address, Twitter, Facebook, any information you want to share with us, even how we can pick up your books or hire you to coach us.
Okay, well, this real easy. My website is my name, ShelbyAlexanderGriggs.com, or you can follow me on Facebook as Shelby Alexander Griggs Fan. On Facebook, on my business page, and Twitter is I'm all over social media. Twitter is Girl Talk W Shelby, and Instagram is Shelby A Griggs. So you can get my book. You go to my website. I have a store out there. You can get it from my website, or if you get it from my website, then I'll autograph it myself. I'll sign it for you. Otherwise, you can go through Amazon. You know, the book retailers, you know, traditional book retailers, and you can get it online. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so inspired. You know, I don't even think I'm going to go to bed tonight between you and Pache giving out this information, and I have to go back and really sit down with it. It's so inspiring, and good luck with everything. I'm just blown away as usual.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you so much for having me on, sister. You know, I love you to pieces, and we're just gonna change the world one day at a time, one person at a time, one show at a time.
One show at a time. That's right. You know, I'm hoping we can turn back on one day and you're back on your own show. Who knows? Maybe we'll see you on network TV soon.
Oh, yeah, that's where I'm reaching. I'm reaching for television, so we'll see.
Well, you know, you're in my prayer journal for it, so you have at least one person in the corner, you know, praying about it and, you know, sending good vibes, so I'm sure it'll happen.
I will take them. Yes, yes, in Jesus' name. My kid goes, my daughter goes, why are you always calling Jesus? I said, honey, because we have to always call him. That's why. All right.
Gotta
thank you so much for
calling.
Having me.
Thank you so much. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, it looks like we're at the end of another show. Next week, your regular host, Cynthia, will be back carrying on the relationship resolutions. Make sure you take some time to go back and listen to the shows, whatever show, because we work really hard to bring you good guests who can inspire and motivate you to reach your goals, whether it's business-wise or whether it's in relationships. And this is Makaysha Dorsey signing off on behalf of Cynthia and Tribal Wisdom. You have a great night.